From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Hey folks, Dan Frio here, the Mortgage Update. And today's show, exciting show, because so many of you out there right now are having a really tough time with, you know, basically your between your income and your expenses. There's probably a really tight squeeze there. So what we're going to go over is forbearance. And right now there's all kind of information out there about forbearances. But the problem is there's so much misinformation. They make it out to seem like it's this glamorous program that basically you could just kick the can of that those mortgage payments. They'll just kick it down the street as far as you want to. And then whenever you feel like paying back those mortgage payments, you can. And that's not the truth. It's the farthest thing from the facts behind all of it. And I have many people that follow me on YouTube that actually have either sent me their forbearance agreements or they post on YouTube and go through the explanation of what they were approved for, and you'd be amazed on how bad it is. Okay, then I want to go over rates. Many people are looking to refinance right now. There's not a lot of buyers. There's still buyers out there, but there's a lot of people trying to find, you know, how do I find the best rates around? And I'm going to kind of pull back the curtain and show you some of the tricks that a lot of lenders are using right now to kind of blow your mind on mortgage rates, but then kind of tuck all the junk fees and how they're increasing their profit margins, how they're tucking those away on pages that you probably don't even really pay attention to, or they just kind of fluff through it and say, look at that rate. Is that rate amazing? There's nobody in the market that can beat our rate. Well, many times I see it, and yeah, it's kind of the lowest rates around kind of possibly. But if you pay that much in fees, I would highly suggest you not do that program. All right. And then in another coming section segment, we're going to go over the easiest ways to refinance. And most of you are saying, you know, it's a pain in the butt, you know, or right now I'm not working, or I'm on furlough, or, you know, this and that. And there's all kind of reasons why you might think that you wouldn't qualify for a refinance, and you might be amazed. So let's go over the first piece of this puzzle. In this segment, we're going to go over forbearances. Here's what's happening in the forbearance market. You hear on the news, you hear on YouTube and the radio, forbearance. You know what? The government is allowing you through the CARE Act to skip, let me rephrase that, to not have to make or postpone up to 180 days of your mortgage payments. And then you might even possibly qualify for another 180 days. Okay. What's not being told to you is what's happening with those postponed payments. So let me advise you on probably 90% of the people, or it could even be almost 100% of what's going on. So here's what happens is, they'll say you can skip this month, next month, the following month. Let's just take three payments, all right? On the fourth month, what's required is one balloon payment. And what I mean by balloon payment is one payment to bring you all the way current. So let's say you're skipping May, June, July. In August, you have to make your August payment, plus add back in there your May, June, July payment. Well, if you couldn't pay May and you couldn't pay June and you couldn't pay July, you're probably not going to, in August, you're probably not going to be able to pay four mortgage payments. So what happens is they can do a few things. They don't have to do any of these. Basically, they can come back and just say, you need to make one big payment to bring yourself current. Or what can be done is they can come back and say, you know, we will maybe modify your loan. I highly am skeptical of that because here's what happened in the past on modifications. You're at their mercy. Basically, what they'll tell you is they'll say you have to be delinquent on your mortgage before we can do any modifications. And then they can basically do whatever they want because you're now delinquent. You can't go anywhere else. You can't go to any other mortgage company because you're delinquent. And they're not going to give you a new refinance if you're behind on your mortgage now. So you're at their mercy. Here's what happened in many, many, many cases that I saw back in 2008, 9, 10, 11. You're 6 months behind. So they take that balance and they'll add it to the end of the loan after the loan is paid off. But here's what they do to help drive down your payments to help you. They'll come back and say, okay, we'll redo this and we're going to drop your payment $200 a month. So now here's the sleight of hand. We're going to actually increase your rate, but how are we going to lower those payments? We're going to extend out your term up to 40 years. And then after 40 years, remember, you still have that delinquency or deficiency balance that you still need to pay on. So it's a terrible idea to do. Okay, so that's one option that they might come back and give you. Again, the first option is one big balloon payment. The second option is at their mercy, they can modify your loan. Okay, so that's a modification. Now, the next thing is they can do kind of like they do with your escrow. I don't know how many people out there have had their real estate taxes increased, but in Illinois, we basically have it every year. So what happens is you get your new tax bill for the following year and your taxes went up. Let's make it simple. Let's $1,200. Okay, so that's $100 a month extra that would add to your mortgage payment to make sure you have enough money in your escrow to pay your taxes. Okay, so what they give you is they give you this option when your tax bill comes out. They say you can make one lump big payment of $1,200 to make, you know, everything equal out, or we can adjust your payment by $100 more a month to make sure we have enough in your escrow account to pay that higher tax bill when it comes due. Okay, so those are your options. Not very good options, especially, again, once you go behind, and they'll tell you this, and I called personally my lender, and here's exactly what they said. I said, you know what, what do I need to do to qualify for the forbearance agreement? And at the time I called, it was about 3 weeks ago. They said, well, we really don't have a plan yet, but we can't really do anything with you because you're current on your mortgage. So once you get behind, then we can start working with you and try to figure this out. Again, once you get behind, you're at their mercy. Okay, you're at their mercy. You can't refinance. And they hold the cards. Okay, so here's the last thing that could possibly happen. And this, I'm not fear-mongering, but it's the truth, the facts. You miss three or you skip three payments. Now the fourth payment is due. You don't have enough to make that balloon payment. They technically could start foreclosure because now you're 120 days late, 3-4 months late on your mortgage. So they can technically start foreclosure. Those are the options that you have in that forbearance agreement that everybody's, you know, pushing out there. I am strongly advising, don't do it. Many people aren't going to listen. Many people, and I get it, you're afraid and you're like, you know what, I'll worry about it 3-4 months down the road. I do this a lot with things as well. I put my head in the sand and pull it up a day later or a week later, hoping everything is kind of fixed itself. And most of the time, I will almost say 99.999% of the time, it didn't fix itself. I just now have a bigger problem. So those are the things I'm trying to help you avoid in all these situations. So what I want to go over is, if you have a particular type of loan, and there's millions of them out there, you can qualify if you meet these three guidelines. And we'll talk about those programs, but the guidelines are this. you have a 640 credit score or higher, you have not missed a mortgage payment in the last 12 months, okay? It will give you the opportunity to possibly refinance at a lower rate, and the rates today are at the historic lows, and I'll go over that. So you can refinance to a lower rate, so you'll reduce your payments, you'll skip at least one mortgage payment, possibly two, depends on how we structure that loan for you, and there is no repercussion. You're not at the bank's mercy. Your mortgage stays current, you get a lower payment once you start paying, and you could skip up to 2 months mortgage payments. So those are the programs we're going to go over. So don't go away. So please share this. If you have a neighbor, friends, family, you know, whatever that might be able to take advantage of any of these programs we talk about, please give us a call. You can reach me personally at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775, and loan is 5626. Or go to the FRIO team, and FRIO is F-R-I-O. So go to thefrioteam.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Now, more of the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's your host, Dan FRIO.
Welcome back. This is Dan FRIO, the Mortgage Update. And what I wanted to go over today is I asked Dr. Diane from Riverside Medical to come in, because you hear all this information about the PPP and the government stimulus and everything else, and you just know that there's going to be, I don't even know if this is a strong enough word, a debacle with the whole process. So why I asked Dr. Diane in is, what was frustrating this past week is when we heard that basically the SBA loans and the survivorship packages for small businesses ran out of money. And then you hear Harvard got a bunch of money, Potbelly's got a bunch of money. Maybe that's well deserved. I don't know about that part of it. But Dr. Diane has a story that's really interesting. She's in the healthcare field and they got no money. So, welcome, doctor. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Where do you work? What exactly do you guys provide? What services?
We're a multi-specialty group in Arlington Heights. I'm an internal medicine physician. We do primary care, and we also do ancillary services, meaning that we provide other services on site, like a sleep lab. We have stress testing, ultrasound, physical therapy, things like that.
So go along your story. My wife works at a dentist's office and they're basically shut down. So I'm assuming you guys aren't really doing a lot right now in regards to a lot of the functions you normally serve.
Well, we definitely are doing telemedicine. That's something that we got up and running very quickly. However, the amount of patients coming in for anything, like I'll see only two or three people in the office today. I normally see about 27 to 30.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then the televisits, I do probably only about six a day. So you can imagine we're down, you know, 60 to 70%, I'd say. And we have very high overhead in medicine because we have to be compliant with a lot of insurers.
Yeah.
And the government. So we have a high cost for computers and tech support and things like that. Okay. So we don't really have that huge margin of profit like other industries might have.
Okay. So how are you keeping afloat?
The doctors are not getting paid.
Okay.
We're not taking a paycheck.
Wow.
Initially we furloughed three employees. Yeah. We were hoping we would get the loan, and then we had to furlough another eight employees yesterday.
Wow.
Because we won't be able to make our rent or our payroll.
And you're in the healthcare field. So go through your story now. This will be the shocking part. Go through your story on what you've done to try to get the PPP, and then I'm sure there's roadblocks along the way that you've seen, because if you're furloughing people, again, you're not taking a paycheck. God bless you.
Correct.
You're not being able to pay rent. You're furloughing your employees. You need the funds. So
Correct.
Go through how did you approach this? And then where did everything fall apart?
Well, we applied on April 3rd online with a major bank. And the process, we had all the information and we submitted that. Okay. Yeah. On April 7th, we had to upload additional documents. and that was submitted at that time. On April 14, they said, we didn't forget about you because we were checking up on the facts to see if they forgot about us. They said, don't worry, we're working on loans, okay? Yeah. Then on April 16th, we actually heard from a bank representative who told us that they wanted to review some of the documents we submitted and then told us basically that we were definitely getting the money, and we were concerned that they were going to run out of money, and they reassured us that we were definitely getting the money. The money was earmarked for us is what they said, especially since we're in the medical field.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we got an email on April 20th, essentially telling us they ran out of money and that we didn't have the money.
I don't even know how to respond, because it's just like, if anybody needs it, should you not allocate everything to the medical field first? Before, you know, and anytime you give out free money, you're going to have all the creatures come out of the woodwork. So what drives me crazy is I'm paying a lot of taxes. Do I want my taxes to go to Harvard, who has a $600 million trust fund?
Exactly.
No. I want you to stay in business so you can help people get through this thing. So now what are you being told at this point?
Well, interesting. We've been trying to reach our bank representative every single day since we received that email, and there's no response.
Got it. So you're chasing your tail at this point.
Yeah, I think they're waiting for the money. Like, I understand that the bill is in the House today.
Got it.
And okay. So that's going to be voted upon. I'm sure they're going to, push it through and it'll be signed. And then I would think the soonest we could even think about hearing from them is probably next week. But meanwhile, we had to furlough more people because we don't know.
Wow.
We've shortened our hours too. I forgot to mention that. We're having the physicians do forced vacation right now too.
Yeah.
Not only not work, but also give up their vacation time, because when we get back rolling, we're going to have to work a lot more to increase the revenue stream so that we can employ all these people.
It's tough to take a vacation when you don't know what you're coming back to. You're not getting paid. You're going to sit there somewhere, probably at home, because I'm sure you can't travel. You don't have the money flow coming in. So it's just going to be anxiety just sitting there wondering what tomorrow is going to bring. And that's the frustrating part. So the assumption is that you hopefully will get the second round of stimulus money, and then you can go on from there. That's basically what I wanted to talk to you about. Because you hear on the news, it depends on what channel you turn on to. Either things are completely perfect or everything is messed up. Yeah, there is a middle of the road. But this process is just nuts. So do you see on my side of the fence, I see when the light switch comes back on, I'm seeing my expectation is everything should come back pretty robust, pretty fast. What's your expectations when the lights do turn back on, I guess is the best way to put it?
Well, some of the things are a lot of our elective surgeries are delayed. So they have to see us before the surgery to make sure their heart's okay and make sure they're okay. Right. So we're going to have all these pre-op visits that we have to be ready for to get the patient to the operating room. So that's going to add on to the regular load of people following up and acute care.
Okay.
Yeah. So our hours are going to be longer, and who knows how long that'll be. I've heard some estimates of at least the whole summer.
Yeah.
Some of the hospitals are actually planning on working 7 days a week starting in June until about August.
Gotcha. All right. So I'm going to ask one question. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. What are you seeing in regards to the coronavirus patient, I guess, load? Because there's studies out. And again, one side of the spectrum is saying, it's Armageddon. And then the other side says, within 2-3 weeks, we should be back working and everything else. And then you see some interviews where hospitals, they don't have enough rooms and they're building places. And then you have others that, needed 1 million beds and there's only 4 beds occupied. Is the truth in the middle somewhere?
Is a new virus for us. And unfortunately, we don't have a treatment or vaccine.
Yeah,
and the problem is a lot of people can get it and be okay, but some people, what's scary about it, it seems like people get really sick really quickly. Like they just get the shortness of breath and then all of a sudden they're on the ventilator,
Okay.
And so that's what's unique about it. It's not just a regular flu.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So because we have no testing, that's where the problem is, and I think once we get an antibody test, if it's reliable, that'll help people get back to work.
Okay. it's so confusing as the normal person. I don't know medicine. So last question I got, we're all quarantined. When they turn the switch back on and we go back to work, would not the infection rates spike again if it's that contagious? I mean, unless we
have herd immunity. We're trying to get herd immunity, and that is at least 60% of the population has the antibody. So that's why the antibody testing can be helpful. Okay.
Gotcha. You seem like an awesome doctor. And I'd like for some people to, if they need your assistance in what you do, what exactly do you guys handle again?
We're an internal medicine group. We also provide gastroenterology consultations. We have a gastroenterologist with us. We are a multi-specialty group that provides ancillary services like physical therapy. We do our own stress tests, echo. We also have a sleep study and a sleep lab that's available.
And where are you guys located?
Arlington Heights.
Okay.
We are still open. We are taking acute care. Okay. And we try to do telemedicine, and we do do telemedicine even for COVID-19 questions and assessments.
Okay. So what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
Our phone number is 847-577-9300. We also have our own website, riversidemedicalsc.com.
Okay. So riversidemedicalsc.com. Gotcha. So anybody out there that needs some assistance, especially in regards to COVID, because the information is just, it's all over the map. And that's where,
overwhelming.
You know, yeah. And that's where, you know, calling a professional like you, and that's why we had you on today.
The one thing I think patients don't realize that doctor's offices are a small business, first of all. Mm-hmm. I think when they pay their premiums, they don't understand the business structure. But we are a small business, and it just goes to show you we're not getting paid, and we're doing a lot of this work, and we want to see patients, and we want to take care of them. But we are a small business, and we think we should have been a priority.
I 100% agree, and that's why we asked you to come on, because it's ridiculous. Some of the companies out there getting the funds, and why it wasn't prioritized. When you're giving out hundreds of billions of dollars, you can't just throw the money in the air and hopefully the people that need it grab it. And that's the most frustrating thing, especially as a taxpayer, that, you know, I don't want my money going to, like I said, Harvard. They have an endowment that's more than most countries' GDPs.
It seems like the terms and conditions of the money should have been more clearly defined.
Yeah. So, well, God bless you. I hope everything works out for you guys. So if anybody needs some help, please reach out to Dr. Diane. They'd love to help you there. Help them get through this mess, and they'll help you get through it as well. So thank you so much for being on. God bless you. Thanks for doing what you do.
Stay well and wash your hands.
All righty. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
All righty. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Update on AM 560. Now, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. So what we're going to talk about now is how you can take advantage of skipping mortgage payments without being at the bank's mercy. So the first thing I want to do is go over mortgage rates and where things are right now, and how to shop for the best rate and package, okay? So many times I get, hey, Dan, I just got pre-approved at this place and the rate is this, and you know, what can you do? There's many pieces of the puzzle when it comes to mortgage rates. So if you call up somebody and says, hey, what's your 30-year fixed rate today? If they answer, tell them, how did you answer that? Because you have none of my information. You don't know if I need an FHA loan, a VA loan, my loan amount, what kind of property I have. Am I looking to pull out cash? What am I looking to do? So how were you able to quote me a rate? Because what they're going to do is they're going to come back and quote you the lowest rate that they have that they could legally have to abide by. But almost all the time, you're not going to get that rate. Okay, so let me explain how mortgage rates or how rates are broken down, all right? So one of the biggest things is your credit score. What is your credit score? Is it under 700, 700, 720, 720, 740, 740 and above? So let me just do a little explanation on mortgage rates. Everybody thrives to have an 800 credit score. They brag about the 800 credit score. And that's a whole nother program because you probably don't know what your credit score truly is. But there's basically four or five major buckets when it comes to mortgage rates when it breaks down to your credit scores, okay? 740 credit score plus is the best rate, the best possible rate you can get, all right? 740 plus. So if you have a 741 or an 800, it's the same rate. The next bucket is 720 to 739. We'll classify that as a B, just for grade purposes. That rate will be a little bit higher, maybe by 0.1, 0.2, 0.3. Okay, that's that. The next bucket is 700 to 719. That rate also is going to be a little bit higher than the 720 to 739 bucket and relatively higher than the 740 plus bucket. And then you have under 700, okay? So that's the criteria when it comes to mortgage rates or based on your scores. So now the other criteria is this. What is what we call your loan to value? Your loan to value is basically that. It's the loan divided by the value. The higher that percentage, the higher your rate. So if somebody needs a 90% loan to value means the lender, us, we're going to lend you 90% of your home's value. That's a bigger risk to us if you have 90% than if you have 50% loan to value, because we have a much bigger cushion there in case of default. So that's less risk to us, the lender. Thus, you'll get a lower rate. So it depends, the higher your loan to value, the higher your rate. Okay, that's the next thing. Then believe it or not, the type of property you have also plays a big role in this. Is it a single family primary home? Is it a four unit rental? Huge differences. So if you called out and up and said, you know, what's your 30 year fixed rate today? And I said 3.25. Oh, okay, that's phenomenal because my rate's 6.5. Why so high? What do you have? Oh, I have a four unit investment property. Hold on a second. That rate's going to be 5. Wait a second. You just said it was 3.25. Well, I didn't know that. Well, the loan officer should have asked. That's our job. I don't want to quote you something that I can't back up. So I'm not trying to avoid your answering your question. What I'm trying to do is fact find. So when I give you an estimate back or a response or an answer, it's a true answer. It's not just a fictitious answer that, you know, I'm just throwing out of the blue. So now the next part of rates is, here's where people are getting completely hosed. I get every day, and I do YouTubes every day out there, and I'm comparing my rates versus, I'll go to most of the time, I'll go to like bankrate.com. That's where a lot of people go and, you know, to try to scan rates and to, you know, kind of be educated. And I love, you know, that's why I do the show. That's why I do my podcast. That's why I do YouTube. I want you to be educated. I have no problem. I'd rather work with an educated borrower that knows they're getting quality from what I provide. They're not getting ripped off. They're not calling, you know, the big bank that they feel, you know, warm and fuzzy because of, you know, this big bank. They're all over the world and they're this. They don't care about you. They just want money. You're just a number to them. So here's kind of what I'm getting at is when it comes to rates, look at the package that you're getting. And here's what I mean. Don't be wild over the rate. I say this all the time on radio. I say it all the time on my YouTube channel. And I mean it. When you get a quote from somebody, what I have to provide you is a loan analysis, what we call a loan estimate, a fees worksheet, anything that you want to call it, we have to provide you legally once you apply for a loan. What is in that loan estimate? Well, in the loan estimate is a lot of things. One thing it says, here's your loan amount. Here's your interest rate. Is it locked in yet or is it floating? And that's a whole nother segment. And then it goes through your payments and all the other things. On page 2 of the loan estimate, and that's what you normally will get, it breaks down everything, where every penny is accounted for. So here's what's happening. A lot of the lenders are out there not wanting to go over that section for you because, again, when you called in, it's like, what's the rate? Many people don't ask, how much am I paying to get that rate? That's called points or discount points or discount fee or whatever the lender wants to call it. It should be discount points on your loan estimate. Every week, I get a lot of people calling and emailing me, especially off my YouTubes, and they're like, hey, Dan, I saw your video. Here's the quote that I recently received from XYZ, you know, mortgage company. Look at that rate. Awesome. Can you beat the rate and or beat the costs? So my YouTube videos are educated. So what we do is we flip to page two. The rate is, let's just say the rate's 3.25. Okay. My rate's 3.25. We go to page two. Here's what happens probably 90% of the time. We go through it and I'm like, okay, now read me the top left portion of page two. How much is it costing you to get that rate? Well, there's a lender fee of $800, and then there's an admin fee of $500, and then there's a processing fee of $400, and then there's a discount fee of 1%, which is $2,500. So, you know, I didn't add that up. I was going, it's $4,000. My response is, yow. Well, I got 3.25, and my costs are, let's say in a lot of loans, $895. I just saved you over $3,000, $3,000, and I'm giving you the same rate. What happens a lot of times is I'm actually getting a reduced rate with reduced fees. So don't be surprised if I come back and say, and it might not be a huge difference, but you're getting 3.25 with 4,000 fees, 5,000 fees. I come back and say, I can get you 3.125. And you're at $1,000 in costs. So I got you 0.125 lower in rate, and I just saved you a bundle in real money. And that money is also financed in the loan 99% of the time. So you're not only saving or paying an extra $3,000 or $4,000 for the services, you're paying on that money over 20, 30 years. So you're going to end up paying an extra, say, $10,000 by going to that other place. So here's the last deception. I won't say deception. Here's the last piece of this puzzle. Don't just go to your local bank. So let's say you want to deal with one of the big banks out there. I won't say which one because I might get in trouble. You want to deal with them. Let me give you some piece of advice. All you're doing is you're getting money. And your job is to get the money as cheap as you can, but from a reliable source that you don't, you know, is not going to deceive you along the way. If you go to that big bank because you want to be with that bank, you might not be there long. They have the ability to transfer, or we call sell, your loan at any time. Your loan could be sold before you even made your first payment. So let's say, for example, I love to deal with Chase Bank, and I'm nothing against Chase Bank, great company. And I want to deal with them because I have my checking and savings there, and I just want to have everything in one place. Well, don't be surprised if you get your loan with Chase, and many people pay extra in fees and rates because they want the comfort of just walking down the street, or when they get their paycheck, go and deposit their paycheck and, you know, write out their mortgage payment at the same time. Don't be surprised if you know, by your first payment or your sixth payment, you no longer have a mortgage with Chase. So all you did was took a higher rate, paid higher fees for your assumption that you would stay with Chase Mortgage or Chase Bank for the duration of the time because you have all your accounts there and you love it. But you paid all that extra cost to be with Chase, and you didn't stay with Chase. You might not even stay with Chase for your first payment. So please, you know, be educated on this stuff, and all you're looking to do is get money. Try to get it from the best company you can, the best person you can, the most efficient way and affordable way that you can. So I'd love to help you. Again, the best way to reach me, and you can reach me personally, is call 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5673. 1-800-926-2626. You can find me at thefrioteam.com, and it's Frio is F-R-I-O, or you can even email me. It's a D for Dan, Frio at preferredrate.com. So don't go away. When we come back, I'm going to go over the easiest loans there are to refinance, and you might fit into one of these categories. We don't need to verify your job. We don't need to verify your income, and you don't need an appraisal. Basically, we take your current mortgage balance, we add 30 days of interest, put you into a new termed loan at today's rates, and start you kind of fresh, and give you, in most cases, you can skip 2 mortgage payments. So God bless. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Once again, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio, and I got a special guest on today, Sean Thompson. So those that are familiar with WIND Radio, Sean should be a household name. The man, the legend. There he is.
So I think I agree wholeheartedly with that.
So you know, the reason why we asked John here is you have multiple companies. You have the real estate piece in Florida, and then you have the cigar shop, and then you also, you're an investor in some other stuff. So let's just break it down one by one, if that's okay. How's the real estate going right now? Because you don't sell much in Chicago. You do most of your business in Florida. How's that going right now?
So with the uncertainty of the ability for the people who own businesses here, they're pretty much in a holding pattern. You have to understand the people who we're dealing with have been put out of work in their home state. You got to remember, I'm dealing with people who are primarily in Illinois, although I do have a couple who are in New York.
Yeah.
And they're offsetting what they perceive and what the reality of our bad holdings with good holdings. That's the beauty of real estate. You can always monetize it and you can always spread out of it.
Got it.
So, you know, if you have to stay in Illinois, like most of us who are here have to stay to some extent, you can offset your bad property with a really good acquisition in a state like Florida, where 1,000 people a day are moving, where you have massive rentals, short-term rentals and vacation, and a high demand for long-term rentals in retirees and people who are relocating. So they're on hold because their Illinois businesses have all been shut down. We were among some of the first to be home arrested or quarantined, however they want to call it today.
Yeah.
And then as far as the small businesses in Illinois, it's unfortunate, but it's devastation.
Well, here's the way I look at it. A lot of people are saying, you know, especially there were some reports came out yesterday saying this could be as big or a bigger impact to the mortgage business or the housing market or the mortgage delinquencies than we had in the Great Recession. Here's my take on it is just briefly is that was a bust. It was a bubble and it popped. And it affected everybody. Businesses going out of business, banks going out of business, investment companies going out of business. This is, I look at this as more like a furlough. Maybe I'm naive on this, but I'm thinking, you know, 95% of the people are probably going back to work. It's basically a furlough that they're going to get stimulus checks, which I don't think are really going to do. It'll help. The good thing is tax time, too. So if people file their taxes, they might get their tax refund back, you know, that time. But at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel versus when this thing blew up in 2009. I mean, it was catastrophic. And it's like, when is the dust going to settle? You know, even when people go back, you know, how long is it going to get back to normal if it does? But I don't think it's going to be, in my personal opinion, as bad as it was in 2009-ish. What's your take on it as a small business owner on multiple businesses?
So this is what's going to make the interview interesting. I think it's going, 2008 was an appetizer to what you're going to see.
Really?
Yeah. And you hear phrases, there's a pattern being laid out. Phrases of the new normal, the new economy, things are changing, people are becoming more efficient at home and all of that. And that's a nice way to buff the reality of nothing will ever be the same. There will be small pockets that are the same. But you have to keep in mind the mindset of the people that have willingly taken the information and said, okay, I'm going to suspend my life, and the ramifications of that. You know, one of my favorite books is Reminiscence of a Stock Operator, and it's the story of Jesse Livermore. I think I told you this before.
Yeah.
And his whole thing was you have to see the whole picture, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have businesses that were hanging on, that we're drowning in debt. When you have a quiet delinquency on a lot of real estate, whether it be rent or mortgages or business loans, there was a quiet delinquency prior to the COVID-19. They now get to hide those failures in this current problem, take the money out. You know, a vast majority of those businesses will never reopen. This is their golden parachute. This is a corporate golden parachute. And for that, I think restaurants in particular, you'll see a fraction of them open, 50, 60% maybe.
Really?
And that's, you know, that's the stuff that no one's talking about. It's wonderful to be optimistic, and everybody should be optimistic because we do have an infrastructure and a habit of rebuilding. But in my opinion, the cure was worse than the problem. And this cure that they've implemented has forever changed the future work ethic and the future work process in America. But I'm looking and listening to a different kind of rhythm to it, because you're seeing the fear in humanity. You're seeing the citizens accept the rush to flood the system with, there's no such thing as free money, but the rush to flood it with money. This is going to linger on. You can't throw a $6.2 trillion number at the market and say, okay, everything's better now. You still have to deal with that $6.2 trillion. So it's staggering. And that big picture, if you just look at that, that will have massive ramifications that will take years. We may never see it.
Right.
That being said, there will always be flight to quality. We have an infrastructure of capitalism that even all of this failure will dent but not destroy. So will there be pockets of bright lights and new businesses, and will there be new innovations from this very problem? Yes, absolutely. But that's going to harm the people who could afford it the least, the most, as it always does.
Yeah. I was looking at it on a kind of drawn back a little bit, saying, you know, back then, you know, you had investment firms, huge investment firms going out of business, companies closing down. I mean, this, and again, when that bubble blew, there was no, I mean, it took, I mean, they're finally, I don't see many people underwater on their mortgages anymore.
Don't forget what happened, though. They rescued the worst players.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're doing that again.
Yeah.
Guys like me and the hairdresser, your small business people, they're not going to get these loans.
Right.
They're not going to get it. You know, it's a few banks that specialize in SBA loans. Those banks have now become the target. So if your bank didn't and you go to your bank, they're like, we don't know. Then you have to go to a new bank. Well, they're going to use that as opening up an account, as luring you in for all their business. You know, there's a lot of minutia that's being grazed over. Now, did some people get money? Yes. But you got to remember, a lot of those people that got the money weren't always affected. So for them, that's funny money.
Yeah.
Will they'll blow it? Yeah, but it's a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. If you wanted to fix it, you should have fixed it by making sure you were only helping those that were affected, and it would have been more of a thought-out process of like a bank balance where if you go debit on your bank, they cover it. If it's a business, you would have been more targeted in the specificity of how you fixed it rather than just throwing everybody money.
Yeah.
You know, I hate that about this process, because you threw money to some very bad people with the intention of helping good people.
Well, the tough thing is you see like Jamie Dimon. You know, they get a bonus, I think, last year, $30 million or something outrageous.
Yeah.
And now they'll get probably a bunch of bailout money or some kind of money. I don't know this for a fact, but this is the normal pattern. I mean, it's a guy that has run or just worked at a bank, and he's a billionaire. You know, and then, you know, they do this miraculous stuff when times are good, but then when times are bad and they made the bad judgment calls, they get funded out by the government to bail them out, and then they keep paying these people exorbitant amounts of money. And it's like, that's what drives me nuts.
Instead of addressing that,
right,
what they did was try to cut everyone in on it.
Right.
Right?
Yes,
so
exactly.
So that's the problem. It's the old gangster neighborhood. Cut me in or cut it out.
Got it.
That's not the way to solve it. If you'd have solved it, you would have never bailed out the institutions that should have failed in 08.
Right.
They should have went bankrupt. And those people who were true innovators in that system would have created a new one.
Last question, because I know you. I know we're running out of time. So sorry. I know you have rental properties and you handle a lot of properties for people. How's the rental income? Is it coming in? A lot of people
stopped. Yeah. I got in front of it. What I said was very simple. We will defer whatever you cannot pay until a later time in the future.
Got it.
But you owe the money.
Yeah.
So make no mistake. There's no such thing as free money.
Well, that's the biggest.
I'm an old capitalist.
Well, I keep trying to post and do shows about the forbearance piece. I don't know how much you know about the forbearance, but yeah. I've even called my lender. And it's like they have no clue what they're going to do. And basically they were saying, well, you could skip delay three payments.
And then pay all three in the future.
Yes. Or if you don't, what happens? We're really not sure. We'll work with you.
No, I got to trust people that are making it up as they go along.
Yeah.
So this is when the individual comes into play. If you can make your own payments, make them.
Yeah.
If you have to borrow it from yourself, borrow it. If you have to take a new mortgage or an equity line, do that.
Right.
Don't depend on this to solve you, because in the end, there will be errors.
Yep.
And once that slippage destroys your credit, you're done.
That's where I was going.
Protect yourself.
Yep.
Don't rely on other people.
Well, I'll end it with this, is he can do that, but during this whole time, they're gonna report as late.
They are making it up.
Yep. And that scares. And there was a report out yesterday. I think there's like $6 billion in or $60 billion. It was some astronomical number of mortgage volume that has requested forbearance agreements. And I can guarantee 99.9% of the people have no clue what it means. They just think, I'm going to be able to skip three payments and then I'll be back to work. Everything's good and I'm good.
You know, I did this myself. I called American Express.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm all shut down. You know what they said to me? We have our own deferment. We'll push it off a month. And I still made the payment I could.
Mm-hmm.
So now I owe it. It's among the individual. Take responsibility for yourself. But believe me, your mortgage lender, either they're going to get you now or they're going to get you later.
Right. There's no free money.
There's no free money. So make the payment if you can make the payment. This is why it pays to be frugal and diligent the whole time of your life.
Right.
Because if you're prepared for this, if you paid off your house, if you have money in the bank, you can sustain this.
Got it.
If not, you're hoping for good intentions. And listen, that's only for guys like Jamie Dimon.
Yeah.
Me, you, all the other small business people, we're the ones that get stuck with this bill.
Amen, brother. Well, I appreciate you having coming on the show.
I
wanted to reach out to you to talk about real estate and small businesses and things like that. So thank you so much.
I know it's a casual day, but how about a collar, brother? Collared shirts. We're businessmen, damn it.
I had a sweater on. My office is scorching hot, and I took it off, and the producer, George, over here, he was winking at me when I was taking off my sweater. So,
yeah, because he's a slave to fashion himself. But listen, thanks for having me.
Right,
I had
man.
A great time.
God bless, brother. Wish you the best.
Thank you very
See
much.
See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Call Dan today at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626. Or online at thefrioteam.com.